Pōpongi māniao, pōpongi maru. RNZ Pacific News, I'm Tiana Haxton. The race to form the next government of Solomon Islands could be a tight one, with no single party emerging from the election with enough seats to govern. Solomon Islanders went to the polls on April 17th. Kuroi Hawkins reports.
Former Prime Minister Manase Songovare's Our Party did the best, securing 15 out of the 50 seats in the House. The former opposition leader Matthew Wale's Democratic Party is first runner-up with 11 MPs, which is also equal to the number of independent MPs that have been elected. As for the rest of the field, the United Party secured 6 seats, the People's First Party won 3, and the remaining 4 minor parties won a seat each. The Governor-General of Solomon Islands, Sir David Vunagi, will decide on a date for the election of the Prime Minister once official results have been gazetted and Parliament informs him that all elected members have returned from the provinces to the capital, Honiara.
A politics professor says pressure from Soldelpa, the kingmaker party in Fiji's coalition government, led to Prime Minister Sitiveni Rambuka reinstating the education minister. In January, Mr. Rambuka stripped Aseri Randorodro, his former son-in-law, of his education portfolio for insubordination and disobedience. 3 months on, and the Prime Minister has walked back on his decision and reinstated Mr. Randorodro. Professor Vijay Naidu says while the PM stood firm in his initial decision to sack Mr. Randorodro, it did not sit well with his coalition partners.
The management board of Sodelpa had given the Prime Minister an ultimatum, you know, to reinstate Randorodro as Minister for Education, asked William Nwoka to step down, or else, you know. Clearly, there were some backroom negotiations and further discussions.
Samoan health leaders say many tourists are taking precautions but remain mostly unfazed despite the nation facing a dengue fever outbreak. Samoa has recorded 34 new cases of dengue fever in the past week, which brings the total current cases reported since November last year to 250. Penina Health Trust Chief Executive Ronnie Lealai Auloto says visitors are still enjoying being on holiday despite the outbreak.
I don't think tourists who are here are fazed by it. And certainly in terms of their clothing they're using around town, and they don't seem to be trying to cover up too much. And, you know, it just seems like life goes on. But I think if the deterrence is more the messaging that's out there before people come, some people may have made changes of choice about coming.
Skin infections are on the rise in the Cook Islands, affecting all age groups. Speaking to Cook Islands News, Dr. Nini Nguyen says they are frequently dealing with impetigo, known as school sores, and it is being reported in children and adults alike. They are advising parents to keep afflicted children at home to reduce spread, to boil drinking water, disinfect bedding and toys, and practice better hygiene. The Kanak National Liberation Front in New Caledonia, the FLNKS, is calling on its militants to continue demonstrating and protesting over France's decision to change the electoral laws. Under the previous law, part of the Nome Accord, the only arrivals from France who could vote were those already in the territory by 1998. But the French Parliament changed this earlier this month, broadening the qualification and sparking tension across the territory. The FLNKS National Congress is seeking advice on the legitimacy of the 2021 referendum, which most Kanaks boycotted and which resulted in a resounding voice to stay aligned with France. It is always maintained that that vote lacked legitimacy. The Pacific Islands Foreign Fisheries Agency says the latest MOU with the US provides an important platform in many other areas. The Memorandum of Understanding allows U.S. purse seine fleets to fish in the exclusive economic zones of 18 Pacific nations and territories. The agreement includes an annual $60 million U.S. dollar payment by the U.S. government for 10 years. Foreign Fisheries Agency Director General Dr. Manutsupo Rosen describes the deal as an enduring partnership.
It's not just about the fishing activities. It's all those important aspects around it to, for example, combat illegal fishing, protect the fishery, to manage and develop the fishery. So we're very excited about this continued work with the United States.
In world news, the United States military has started building a floating pier off the coast of Gaza in an attempt to make it easier to get humanitarian aid to besieged Palestinians. Ships will carry aid from the Mediterranean island of Cyprus to the floating dock, from which it will be transferred onto boats, then trucks for distribution. Our correspondent Benji Hayer reports.
It's an enormous logistical task, but one that could help tackle hunger in the territory amid Israel's devastating military campaign against Hamas. The United Nations warns famine there is almost inevitable, and children are starving to death. Once the US's system is up and running, close to 150 trucks of aid could be delivered per day, carrying 2 million meals, enough to feed almost all of the Gazan population. More than 1,000 American troops are expected to be involved in the construction effort, but there'll be no army boots on the ground in Gaza itself.
The United Nations is warning of a possible imminent attack on the city of Al-Fashir in Sudan's North Darfur region, saying it would have devastating consequences for the civilian population. A civil war erupted in Sudan 1 year ago between the Sudanese army and the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces, creating the world's largest displacement crisis. Al-Fashir is the last major city in the vast western Darfur that is not under control of the Rapid Support Forces. A UN spokesperson says the Rapid Support Forces are reported to be encircling Al-Fashir, suggesting a coordinated move to attack the city may be imminent. The UN says the area is already on the brink of famine. In Aotearoa, champions of Te Reo Māori have been honoured in Te Whanganui Ātara at last night's Reo Māori Awards. Among the 13 recipients are 3 prominent wahine who have been recognised for their mahi to promote Te Reo. Pokere Paiwai reports.
Dame Nada Glavish, broadcaster Tini Molyneux and composer Queenie Moiho Reedy each received the Lifetime Achievement Award, the highest honour of the night. Waikato-based education company Tupu Ora picked up both the community and education awards, while students at Te Kura Kaupapa Māori o Ngā Mokopuna in Wellington took out the Rangatahi Award for their business taking visitors around local historic sites. Māori Language Commissioner Ngā Hiwi Apanui acknowledged the recipients and says there are a huge number of people championing te reo in Aotearoa.
2 contestants will represent French Polynesia at next week's Miss Trans France 2024 pageant. Omaka Genjin was elected Miss T Tahiti in October 2023. The other contestant is Chiara Alcara, a permanent resident in mainland France who had to migrate there to complete her transition. Both are preparing for the French national pageant, which will be held on May 4th in Paris. And both say they intend to speak out on ways of improving the condition of transgender in French Polynesia, including the high cost of hormonal treatments there. In sport, the Crusaders have climbed up the bottom of the Super Rugby Pacific standings after a 39-0 whitewashing of the Rebels in Christchurch last night. The defending champions race clear to record just their 2nd win of the season after leading 10-0 at halftime. The Chiefs also produced a big second half to beat the Waratahs 38-22 in Sydney. There are 3 more Trans-Tasman matches today, including Australia's top side the Brumbies hosting the unbeaten Hurricanes in Canberra. New Zealand boxer Mea Motu has extended her career record to 19 wins without defeat after making light work of a Thai opponent in Auckland last night. Motu defended her IBO bantamweight belt after a 2nd-round stoppage win over Nopaket Serizawas. And there's disappointment over a lack of bookings for the Olympic surfing event in Te Ahupo o Tahiti. Tahiti's hospitality industry leaders are concerned that 3 months ahead of the 2024 Olympic surfing event in Te Ahupo o, bookings aren't taking off as much as they hoped. French Polynesia's Hotel Association co-president Christophe Guardia told Polynesie La Première figures projections at this stage are lower than last year's. He says French tour operators aren't bothering to sell the Olympics 2024 Te Ahupo o surfing event destination because they think it will be overbooked anyway, which Guardia says is not the case. Another factor could also be the unusually high-priced room rates – according to a local travel agency. And that's the latest RNZ Pacific news and sports. For more, follow along at rnzi.com.